Scripture reading for this evening, Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them."
Good evening. It is so good to see you tonight. We're glad that you're here. We'll jump right back into our sermon where we began, or ended rather, this morning. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 2. So far, we've talked about a lost sheep and we've talked about a lost coin. Third portion of the chapter, the third part of the parable, is about a lost boy. The Lord continued this parable, as we mentioned this morning, just one parable with three parts. We'll walk through what the parable teaches and then we'll make some application as we move forward. I'll try to be brief in my comments as we walk through. The first thing that's noticed is the boy's departure. Before reading, it is noteworthy to say these things, though. This portion of the parable differs from the first two portions in many respects. The first part is we've moved from, though a living being, a living thing, we've moved from an animal to a human being. And so we've moved from something that's alive, yes, even something that's dear, yes, but not a human. Something that does not have an eternal soul. Well, now we are talking about someone who has an eternal soul. We've moved not simply from something living, but we've moved from an inanimate object. Money. It's not alive. Doesn't have any being to it. It's not moral in any way. It's an object, and that an inanimate object. And so this section of the parable differs in many respects from that one. It might be sad beyond words that some people confuse animals and human beings. I appreciate that people, quote unquote, love their animals. I appreciate that for those who do. I don't have any problem with you. We're not going to fall out. Animals are like greens. If you want to have them, hey, enjoy yourself. To me, they're like greens. I don't particularly, but hey, for the people who do, I'm with you. And if you can't wait to get home to Scruffy, enjoy Scruffy as far as Scruffy can be enjoyed. But you and I will find ourselves on a very real, extreme, different position if you can't differentiate between the worth and value of Scruffy and the worth and value of a human being. I am adamantly opposed to your position there. Not opposed to you enjoying Scruffy, but human beings are not animals. And as much as you can love your pet, that's fine. Your pet does not share the image of God. Humans do. And so we've moved. It differs in that regard. The second way it differs is, if you will note the first two portions of the parable, go back with me, if you will, to verse number 4. You'll notice verse number 4 says, "What man of you having 100 sheep," note the next expression, "if he lose one of them." Now, some have suggested the sheep was lost maybe because of negligence. Maybe the owner wasn't watching as he ought to. At any rate, the loss is attributed to him. He lost the sheep. The same thing can be said with regards to the coin. Verse number 8. "Either what woman of you, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one of them?" Again, the loss is attributed to the action or inaction of the person. That's not present in this third section of the parable. The father is not attributed with losing the son. In fact, it's right to say he departed. The verses say, "Certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that has come to me. King James says, give me the portion, give me the share. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, all of the action from here on is attributed to the son. The younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey. The his is implied. He took a journey. He did that. He gathered. In fact, he asked, give me the portion. He asked for that. He gathered his things. Few days later, after a while, he gathered his things. And his departure from his father's house was his choice. He departed. He gathered his things. He took a journey into a far country. And there, again, attributed to him, he squandered his property in reckless living. That's a rendering of the ESV. King James says, with riotous living. And so it differs because human beings have volition. Because human beings can choose. Human beings are not animals and they're not coins, though obviously they can be lost. The second thing that we find out that happened to the boy is, when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. No one gave to him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? We said this morning that parables only make one point. And this is part of why that needs to be said, is because it's very easy to get distracted by the details. For instance, we could preach entire sermons, if not series, about this young man's difficulty. The Bible says a severe famine arose. And we could go on about how when you leave the father's house, you don't know the future. Things could happen beyond your control for which you never planned. And they did. You could be doing great today. When he left, he had plenty of money. And now he's in need. Needs are sometimes unforeseen. At some point, the money ran out. The famine came in. And now there he is. Away from his father's house, in the far country, something beyond his control, and now all the money is gone. We could get distracted with some of these details. Are there lessons to be learned? Yes. Are they the point? No. The point is now, the young man has found himself in difficulty. It's moving toward the point. The third thing we notice is his decision. He said, while he's in the pig's pen, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. You know, no animal has ever uttered those words. No animal has ever owned sin. No animal has ever done that. Lions eat those gazelles and never apologize. They never say, I'm sorry. Never say, I broke up a family. How bad do I feel about that? No. And you know what? Those parents of those gazelles that escaped, the ones that didn't, they keep on running. They keep on moving for their own lives. Humans acknowledge sin. This young man does. I have sinned against heaven. And before you, no longer worthy to be called your son, treat me as one of your hired servants. He arose, came to his father, but while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran, embraced him, kissed him. The son said, just what he had rehearsed. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's his decision. He has come home to his father. It brings us to the next part, and that is his reception. He was received by his father. Father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us Eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. There is a sad section to this parable, and that is the behavior of the older son. Most times when this is talked about, it's talked about in terms of the older son's feelings toward the younger son. And while, again, I suppose there is that element to it, it appears from reading the text, the younger son is unaware of his older brother's feelings. His older brother's feelings aren't directed at the younger son. And it's not the younger son that goes out and talks to his. No, in keeping with the point of the parable, the older son has issue with the father. And the father goes out and talks to the older son. That's what the text says. Now his older son, you'll note that. His older son, who's this about? Now his older son was in the field as he came and drew near to the house. He, the older son, heard music and dancing. He called to one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. Interestingly, the father goes out. His father came out and entreated him. His father left the party, left the celebration, and went out to his older son. And now they begin to have a discussion about the father's behavior. "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet, you never gave me a young goat and that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." It was fitting. King James says it was meet. It fit. It was proper. It was meet to celebrate and to be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This morning, when we talked about the first portion of the parable, we said it teaches one point. The point of the parable began back in verse 1 and verse number 2. This man received sinners. Which man of you, if he lost the sheep, wouldn't leave the 99 and go find the one? Which one of you wouldn't do that? Which one of you, if a woman lost money, she wouldn't turn on the light and seek diligently, and both wouldn't search until they found it? It is a defense of the behavior of one who has lost something. But in this instance, the father didn't lose it by neglect or departure or any other thing. The son left. The parable is about the father, not the lost boy. I have preached the parable I don't know how many different ways. We end up talking about the prodigal and his departure. Yes, that's certainly present. We end up talking about the older brother and his behavior. And, well, yeah, that's involved. But parables make one point. And the point here is the father's son was lost. I ask you this morning to think about your child. I trust you did. What would happen if your baby was lost? Would you alert the authorities? Would you call up the family? Would you leave the house and go search? People do that for pets. And they put up rewards. I'll pay you if you help me find my pet. How much more for children? In the third portion, it appears that the father does not seek. And that's interesting because in the first two sections, the man who lost the sheep went and looked for the sheep. And the woman who lost the coin, she went and looked for the coin. But in the third part, the boy left and the father stayed home. At least it appears where the father didn't go. But that misses the point. Because Jesus is on earth. How did he get here? And what was he doing here? Take a passage like Luke 19:10. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was." He's here because the Father's seeking. Many times have I read that parable and didn't think the Father was seeking. Jesus is on the earth because the Father is seeking his lost sheep and his lost children. His children are lost. And Jesus is receiving publicans and sinners and being admonished and rebuked for doing so. Which man of you, if his child left the house, wouldn't give everything you have to find your child? This parable is about a father whose son is away from his house. And when it's read through those eyes, your heart not only breaks for the father when his son departs, but it has no problem rejoicing with the father when his son is found. Verse number 11, a man had two sons. The younger of them, interestingly, the younger. We think of younger children, we think of more innocent, more naive, less prepared, more vulnerable. The younger of them left. And a father's worst nightmare is realized. Where's his son? He's in a foreign land, far country, out of money, in a famine, with no food, with no shelter, in a pig's pen. When people lose babies, it does not take long for the worst possible scenarios to start running through their mind. Stand with the Father. The young son says, "I will arise and go to my father. My behavior has been such, I'm no longer worthy to be called his son." For all the parents in the room tonight, what would your child have to do before you reach that conclusion? It's interesting that the child feels that way. The father never does. One of the reasons that God's children have a hard time coming home is they feel just that way. I'm no longer worthy to be called his son. And many of them, instead of mustering the courage this young man had and coming back home, they stay. Become convinced by the devil and the world, you are used goods, ruined, not meet to be called a son anymore. Thank God this young man got out of that pig's pen, soil and all, and went home. Young people, I know this. There's not a parent who wants you to go to the far country. But there is also not a parent who would not love it if you came home. Young people, you need to know that. And parents, you need to tell them that. And convince them that it's true. Do we want you in the far country, face down in the pig pit? No. Worst case scenario, we don't want that. But don't stay. Come home. And when this young man came home, those of you who are parents, what would you have done? Tell me you would have done what the father did. Tell me on this occasion you looked over the horizon and there he is. And as he came to you, you ran to him. And as you got to him, tell me you would have done what the father did. You would have hugged him and embraced him and kissed him and told him. The servants running behind as they watch you run would have been told, kill the fatted calf. Get him a ring. Get him some shoes. Get him a robe. Why? You know, the language really cannot be missed. You could read this, I suppose, in a tone of anger. You could say, well, the father, he's been dead to me. Father never said he was dead to me. My son was dead and is alive. My son was lost and is found. The servants said to the older brother, when the older brother asked, what is this? The servants said, your father is celebrating. Why is he celebrating? Because he's received him safe and sound. The servants even understood the properness of this celebration. He's received him safe and sound, and he's celebrating. One of the things that stands out to me about that older brother is simply this. Siblings aren't parents. Siblings can be in a house. And siblings can have one way they think things should be. But siblings aren't parents. The father's behavior is patently different than the brother's behavior. Maybe the sibling, as he says, listen, he should have known better. Well, maybe a sibling feels that way. Maybe a sibling, as he says, I didn't, and he did. And he doesn't deserve. Maybe a sibling feels that way. But tell me this, those of you who are parents, how would you feel if your son has been received safe and sound? Do you join the son who said, well, he shouldn't? Or do you join like the father and say, this my son was dead and is alive. It was meet to celebrate. If you ever have the blessing of having a child, I promise you this, there is nothing in the world worse than contemplating them being lost. Even when it's momentary. You ever lost one at Walmart? Lost one in a grocery store? Lost one somewhere and just hands get separated. Amusement parks are terror zone. It's terrible to have that many people in one place holding on to little people's hands. It's just a horrific thing. Crowds come bumping you. Baby's hands slip out. You start looking around. Little feet can't be. Heart just start. Has it ever happened? Am I the only one? Matter of fact, if you're the spouse and it's happening to you, you do not want to tell your spouse, I lost your child today. You don't even want to go home with that news. You got to get that baby before you get to that spouse. I don't care which way it's working. No husband wants to leave with the babies and not come back. And no wife wants to show up without the little person she left with. What about God? You ever read this account and thought about God and his children? When does heaven rejoice? Over our great behavior. You know, I couldn't find that passage. Taking the gospel to, I couldn't find that passage. I found one though. found one passage in the Bible that said three times in one section, it's joy in heaven. When does heaven rejoice? Over one sinner who repents, than over the 99 righteous person who need no repentance. I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. He's not talking about Gentiles, I'm convinced. He's talking about Jews who have gone away and are in need of being rescued. Father says, this my son was dead and is alive. Again, he was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. There is within the body of Christ a very real need for those righteous persons who need no repentance to think about God's children who go away, that the righteous can help God's children come home. And that would make the Father, let me ask it another way. Your posters are up. Your reward is available. The authorities have been called. You have been exhausted in your search. And somebody in your search party says, I found them. How do you feel about that person? What are your thoughts about that person? The righteous of God's people need to have a different thought about the children of God who go away. The church is constant in one thing, and that is we try to save the lost. Praise God for that. We should take the gospel to the lost. But there is this second lost group that just does not seem to garner the same attention as that group. And that group are children of God. To help bring them home is to cause the Father to celebrate, for his children are lost and are now found. They're dead and now alive. And it is meet that we celebrate. When the lost is found, heaven rejoices. When the dead comes back to life, heaven rejoices. When the missing is missed and searched for, heaven rejoices. I don't believe that God's people inside of the body of Christ feel like the older brother. It is interesting, the last thing the Father says to that older son is, your brother. The older son says to the father, this your son. Father says back to the older brother, your brother has come home. I just believe that if you and I began to see members of the body who go away as lost children of God, we will change our attitude and disposition about the design and intentions of trying to find them. We can be consumed with doing right, and we should do right. We can even be consumed with seeking and saving the world, and we should. But Luke 15 talks about a father who lost a son and got him back. Sometimes growing the church would happen if we simply got God's children to come back home. If you were a father and your child was lost, would you want somebody to seek and to save? Would you want somebody to help you do it? Because I know your efforts would be to find. The whole of the Bible is God coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus is on the earth, coming to his own, and then ultimately to the world. There may be brothers and sisters here that you and I maybe should turn our eyes and our minds to. And maybe get a list and begin to look through it and contemplate, where are they? What's happening to them? And are they out there in that world apart from their Father in spiritual famine, need of their Savior? And maybe we can be mindful of them, help them get home, and cause heaven to rejoice. I know your home would rejoice if your lost child was found. The Bible says heaven rejoices when God's are found. May God help us to have that kind of care and concern for our brethren and for his children. Now, a Christian tonight, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repent of your sins. Confess his name and be buried with Christ in baptism, and let Jesus save you. He will wash away your sins. He will make all things new. You will become part of God's family. If you have done that, have any need, please let that be known as you come to the front, as we stand and as we sing.